Embrace the Word for Friday, April 17, 2026. Embracing Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a cry for forgiveness. The superscription of this psalm provides a specific historical context. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This historic context is paralleled in 2 Samuel 11 through 12 as the prophet Nathan confronts David concerning the sins that he had committed and tried to cover up. Psalm 51 has several links with Psalm 50. Both psalms speak of offering sacrifices and what sacrifices are acceptable to the Lord. 50:9 through 14, 51:16 through 19. The warnings against adultery in Psalm 50:50-18, as well as the announcement of God's judgment, 50:1 through 6, set the stage for the true repentance in Psalm 51. But Psalm 50 also has an important connection with Psalm 51 in that Psalm 50 offers hope. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. 50:15. While Psalm 51 shows that David did just that, call upon the Lord. Psalm 51 also has connection to Psalm 32. Even if Psalm 32 is not the exact same historical context, it might be, it nevertheless is connected due to their shared themes of repentance and forgiveness. In Psalm 51, David promises to teach transgressors your ways, 51:13. And Psalm 32 shows David fulfilling that pledge, 32:8-9. Psalm 51 begins with a focus on forgiveness, 51:1-9, in which this section is bracketed by blot out, 51:1-51:9. Psalm 51 next focuses on spiritual restoration, 51:10-17, in which this section is bracketed by clean heart, 51:10, and contrite heart, 51:17. The closing section is a word of exhortation to the nation, 51:18-19. Psalm 51 opens with a two-part request, mercy and forgiveness. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. 51:1-2. Similar to Psalm 32, David uses three terms for the comprehensiveness of his sins, and three terms for the abundance of his forgiveness. Transgressions speak of rebellion against God. Iniquity describes the twisted perversion of sin, and sin refers to missing the mark or coming up short of God's standard. Together, the terms speak of disobedience in all its ugliness. These terms speak of the pervasive pollution of the human condition in body and soul. David appeals to the Lord's mercy and steadfast love. He does not offer any excuses, nor does he appeal to anything in himself. All that David has to appeal to is what the Lord has revealed about himself. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin. See Exodus 34:6-7. David knows his guilt is great, but he also has a great hope in the grace of God. The particulars of David's appeal concerning forgiveness consist of three expressions. Blot out speaks of the erasure or cancellation of a debt. Wash generically describes the vigorous washing of dirty clothes, but it specifically is descriptive of ceremonial purification. See Exodus 19:10. Cleanse is also a common word referring to ritual cleansing, such as in the case of lepers. See Exodus 13:6. David explains why he needs forgiveness. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. 51:3. David is painfully aware of his sin, for it accuses him. It was the Lord who sent Nathan to confront David. See 2 Samuel 12:1. In other words, it was the Lord who, through the words of the prophet, pricked David's conscience and made him feel the guilt of his sin. We should see Nathan's confrontation as a gracious thing. And furthermore, we should see an afflicted conscience because of sin as a gracious thing also. David has been exposed and his cover-up brought to light. Now David is brought to confession. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. 51:4. David had wronged Bathsheba, her husband Uriah, and no doubt wronged others whom he dragged into his mess. But David realizes that first and foremost, he had offended God. Sin is always first and foremost a personal affront to the Lord. See 2 Samuel 11:27 and 12:9-10. David confesses not only his sin against God, but he also recognizes that God is blameless and just in whatever he deems is proper to do with him. David not only confesses the guilt of his sin, he also acknowledges the full gravity of his sin. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. 51:5. David is neither blaming his parents nor offering anything by way of an excuse. In essence, David was locating his troubles not simply in a poor decision on a bad day. David was locating his troubles within his own character and nature. David is simply stating that his deepest problem is the problem faced by every descendant of Adam. Therefore, just as sin came into the world and through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. See Romans 5:12. David is acknowledging that he came into this world as a sinner. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. David realizes that he needs more than forgiveness. He realizes that he needs the Lord himself to work into him what is pleasing to the Lord. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. 51:6. For the Lord to do the transforming work necessary, David realizes that the Lord must first purify him. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. 51:7. Purging refers to the purifying from uncleanness. David realizes that pollution must be cleansed. The hyssop was a plant used in Israel's ritual cleansing, such as when the blood of the Passover lamb was applied to the doorframe of their homes. See Exodus 12:22. David is asking the Lord to cleanse him of his spiritual impurities. Only then would he be regarded as whiter than snow. See also Isaiah 1:18. As David is cleansed, he knows that it will mean that joy would return. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. 51:8. Sin and guilt alter our moods. Sin spoils everything. But grace restores the soul, grace heals the soul, and grace returns joy to the soul. And the work of this grace-producing joy reestablishes fellowship with the Lord. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. 51:9. Whereas our sin would prompt God to hide his face from us, David asks the Lord to hide his face from his sin, blotting it out. Nothing now matters more to David than the Lord's face not be hidden from him, that his sin would be blotted out. As David continues his confession, the emphasis shifts from forgiveness to his renewal. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. 51:10. Create is the same word used in Genesis 1 and 2, when God created the world out of nothing. David is asking the Lord to make something fresh and new in him, a heart that loves God and obeys his word, and the presence of the Spirit that would sustain such a love and obedience. Such a genuine love and obedience is not natural to the human condition. The Lord must supernaturally create it. The kind of life that David asks for requires the ongoing presence of the Spirit. So David prays, "Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." 51:11. David does not want to see happen to him what happened to Saul. See 1 Samuel 16:14 and 18:12. God removed his spirit from Saul because of his repeated rebellion. Nothing could be more terrifying to David than forfeiting the presence of God in his life. Therefore, David further prays, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." 51:12. David desires that his renewal bring a return of his joy, as well as a resolve to do what is right. If David experiences these blessings, he will seek to redirect others back to the Lord. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." 51:13. The content of Psalm 51 is itself evidence that David did such a thing, for this psalm has given much counsel to many to return to the Lord. As David is specifying his need for renewal, he revisits the seriousness of his guilt. "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation." 51:14. David is acknowledging his own culpability in the death of Uriah. There is nothing that David can do in and of himself to rid his guilt. However, David knows that what he can do is cry out to the Lord. As David confesses that as the Lord pardons him of his guilt, he will shout God's praises. "My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness, O Lord. Open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise." 51:14-15. It is remarkable that David states that he will exalt in the righteousness of God because of his forgiveness. It is remarkable because it is God's righteousness that would demand justice for David's blood guilt. However, as David grasps that it is God's righteousness that not only will by no means clear the guilty, but he also realizes that it's God's righteousness that accounts for his forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. See Exodus 34:7. God righteously forgives those who repent and seek his mercy, for God has, as we will consider shortly, put forward a righteous substitute. Thus, David knows that all that he can bring to the experience of forgiveness from the Lord is his repentance. "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. For you will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." 51:16-17. A broken and contrite heart signifies a deep repentance that feels the deep horror of sin enough to turn from it. a repentance that desires restoration with God. David's final statements are words of the king to his nation. Do good in Zion, in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. 51:18-19. David realizes that as king, his own restoration before the Lord is essential to the life of the entire nation. David, as king, was the representative head of the nation before God. If David incurred the wrath of God, then that wrath would trickle down upon all under David's reign. But as David experiences forgiveness and restoration, such favor would come to that nation as well. David asks for this favor upon the nation so that the nation would offer pleasing worship to the Lord. As we reflect on Psalm 51, we can consider how God's forgiveness towards sinners reflects the righteousness of God. On the one hand, it is the very righteousness of God which is an expression of his holiness that requires sin to be judged. Justice requires the guilty to be punished. Only unrighteous judges allow sin to go unpunished. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike in abomination to the Lord. See Proverbs 17:15. However, God in his great mercy has been pleased to demonstrate his righteousness in how he forgives iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty. See Exodus 34:7. God's mercy and righteousness are fully and compatibly shown in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. See Romans 3:25. Jesus took on his people's sins and bore up under the justice of God's wrath, thereby propitiating or satisfying God's wrath. Justice for sin was required, and justice for sin was satisfied. Such a plan upholds God's righteousness. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans 3:26. In Christ, God is seen as righteousness, as righteous, and he also declares the guilty as righteous through faith. As we experience a full forgiveness through trusting Christ, we are now to glory in the loving mercy of God and sing aloud of your righteousness. 50:14. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, April 17, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, April 20, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 52.